Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome. Well, we had to get through all of that just to give me just a few more minutes so I could properly introduce to you the awesome and esteemed Dr. Heywood Horton, who is my special guest for this morning. Dr. Horton, thank you so much for coming on the radio show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure, Coach Williams.
Well, I know you are used to this. Going through your bio, I'm sure you've appeared many places, radio, television, and all over the country and all over the world for that matter. And I am going to read some of your bio, and I'm going to let you later let people know where they can find out more about you. And I just want to take a moment or two to welcome those of you who are tuned in to All About Entrepreneurs today. We are really going to talk about how entrepreneurs can be better at what they do, and also what exactly do entrepreneurs do. I mean, when I met Dr. Horton about a week or so ago, I was just amazed at all of the stunning and great information that he had to share about entrepreneurship. I mean, I really thought that he was probably a business professor with all the information that he had. I so welcome him to the show. Welcome you to the broadcast. I know you're going to get a lot out of it. And let me just go over some of his bio because I find it very awesome. All the things, and he's really an outstanding person and professor and just an all around individual that is doing great things in our society. But he's going to tell you a little bit how he got his start and how he ended up where he is today as an entrepreneur and a fantastic speaker, but Dr. Hayward, Derek Horton, he is a professor of sociology and the School of Public Health, and it's in the State University of New York at Albany. And it's so interesting that, you know, you're up there at Albany, and so we'll talk a little bit more about that. He is a native of Norfolk, Virginia. He holds a bachelor's in sociology from Norfolk State University and an MA and PhD from Pennsylvania State University. He has also held professorships at the University of Central Arkansas and Iowa State University. Professor Horton specializes in demography and race, ethnicity, public sociology, and sociology of place. Wow. Boy, we're going to have you back on a few other shows. You have to have you on for like a whole month long. He has published over 30 articles on topics such as the demography of rural black families, differences in black-white levels of home ownership, population change, and the employment status of college-educated blacks. Wow. Race ethnicity levels of employment, the demography of black entrepreneurship. Now, let me just say that again. The demography of black entrepreneurship, because I think that's one of the places we're going to definitely dig in today. And the feminization of poverty. Wow, Dr. Horton, this is just incredible. Professor Horton developed the first and only sociological medical of black community development. And so the Black Organization Autonomy Medal. He also introduced a new paradigm into the field of demography, critical demography. Wow. Well, you know, I could go on and on. You have some fantastic stuff here in your bio, but that'll be the rest of the show will be gone, and all we'll be able to have you say is, thank you very much. But I just want to note a couple of key other things, just so many outstanding things that you've done. And so I am definitely going to take this information to our social science department and our business department when we begin to schedule people coming in to speak. For I am definitely going to share your information with them. If they don't know who you are, they're going to know you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I feel like saying OMG. And let's see. Wow. You know, he's also a recipient of the Albany's 2006 Excellence in Academic Service Award, the SUNY's Chancellor Award for Excellence in Academic Service in 2006. Wow. And the recipient of the Outstanding Service Award from the Black Caucus of the Public Employee Federation of New York State. And he's worked in many grassroots community groups on issues of drug addiction, alcohol abuse, homelessness, and illiteracy. He has served on the board of directors of the AIDS Council of Northeastern, the New York, and is founding member of the Albany affiliate of the National Black Leadership Commission on AIDS. He is the founder and project director of the Capitalize on the Community and HIV Prevention and Community Outreach Project in Albany. Well, I know they keep you busy, and I love Professor Horton's personal philosophy is that sociologists have an obligation to apply their knowledge to make a difference in society. This is just so amazing, and I know that took a couple minutes, but no longer than that intro to the show, right? And I, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, it was truly, truly, truly worth it. So again, if you just tuned in, welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. I'm Coach Lalisa, and I have as my very special guest today Dr. Hayward Horton, who is a professor who is leading many community projects, grassroots projects. He serves on national committees. He has a specialty of understanding all of these various groups inside our demographics. And so in whether it be African-American groups, groups of people who are homeless, people who are illiterate, people who are drug addiction, he really talk about, he's the epitome of what you would think a person with a master's in sociology and a PhD would have. So Dr. Horton, I'm just going to turn it over to you now and just let you, you know, when I met you, you shared very powerfully a powerful message in Virginia Beach at the Business and Leadership Conference. And right away I said, I would love for you to come on the show. So I would love for you to share a bit of what you shared there. I know you don't have time to share all that you did, but especially because we're going to have... So now I introduce to you Dr. Hayward Horton.
Well, again, it's an honor to be on your show, Lisa. And I tell you, I want to commend you for all the good work you're doing in the community yourself, as not only in Jersey, but throughout the United States. I think you really are a blessing. You know, when we talk about entrepreneurship, I believe that most of us are perhaps a little bit misled about what that concept really means. Certainly, entrepreneurship is very much tied to self-employment and business development, particularly small business development. But the power of entrepreneurship comes into play when we understand that it really means applying innovation and creativity to any human endeavor in all aspects of life. And we, as we look throughout history, particularly Black history, and this is wonderful, this is Black History Month, that our very existence, we start looking at the heroes and sheroes who really made it so that we are here where we are today. We can see that entrepreneurship was a key part in bringing all of us forward as a people. And so we need to get the word out more so about what entrepreneurship is. And in fact, we need to actually have what I call an entrepreneurial explosion in our community to tap into all that talent and creativity and innovation and to bring our communities forward.
Yes. Oh, I totally agree with you.
And one of the things that we really want to think about and to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, we can look at so many phenomenal examples. We all have heard of, for instance, of Jet Magazine and Ebony. In fact, I'm looking at my coffee table here, and I see Ebony and Jet, and just as I saw Ebony and Jet as I was coming up as a child, and most of us, and yet many of us don't understand or know the story of entrepreneurship behind that story. I can't go into all the magic and the power that was the life of John Johnson in total. Again, that would take the whole 30 minutes, but I will say this. He was a man who, like most entrepreneurs, could actually see things that other people couldn't see. He saw that there was a need to bring forth news about Black people that the white press was not producing. He knew that there was a positive story, and he also knew there were important stories that just weren't making the news about our people. And he dedicated his life to bringing that story to us. And it was phenomenal. In fact, when you think about a young man back in the 40s trying to get something off the ground and not being able to get a loan from the bank and having to basically mortgage his mother's furniture in order to get a $500 loan and turning that into a multi-million dollar empire. And just to kind of give you an idea just how creative John Johnson was, he knew that if people weren't demanding his magazines, then the retailers and the distributors wouldn't carry it. So he believed in priming the pump. He would pay people, and many of his employees, give them money to go buy his magazine to create a demand. And it worked. And once again, he realized that perception when it comes to entrepreneurship is reality. Oftentimes you hear a lot of motivational speakers say, fake it till you make it. But he was a man who realized that unless there was a demand, his magazine would not survive, and he created a demand. And so you think about stories like that, and he ultimately became not only a man who oversaw an empire that at one time was the wealthiest business in America, but also he became the advisor to every president since the early 50s up until the time of his death in the 90s. He was, again, a phenomenal entrepreneur, but he was a person, again, who applied that creativity to what he wanted to do. You know, it's just so interesting and fascinating that we have so much creativity, and we don't realize that's entrepreneurship. And the key, I believe, is having a movement where we can harness that creativity in a positive direction. And this is particularly the case given the fact that historically, and even in the present time, unemployment in the black community tends to be twice that for the white population. And so one of the things that that many people don't realize is that oftentimes there is what we call an inverse relationship between the level of employment and entrepreneurship. Or in other words, as employment goes down, entrepreneurship goes up. And so the key is, if in fact, oftentimes we actually call those hustles, but the reality is that if we can turn many of those honest hustles into full-blown entrepreneurial enterprises, we can move the community forward dramatically. And so we need a new spirit, a spirit of entrepreneurship that starts from the cradle to the grave. And I get so excited when I think about this particular idea. And let me also say this. Entrepreneurship can also be applied even in the political arena. Let me explain something. You know, since our President Barack Obama, had been elected even back as early as in 2008, and we certainly are happy about his re-election last year, which was certainly historic. But would you believe that his opposition in Congress has actually held up literally hundreds of appointments in key positions throughout the government? And this is an obvious attempt to minimize the impact of this president on many key agencies, even and of course many judgeships at federal levels aren't being appointed because his opposition are stalling the appointment process. This is where entrepreneurship in the political arena can certainly come to play when we start talking about a movement where not just the black community but communities throughout the society standing up and actually making demands that these appointments be made. And see, and the key is we have to be able to innovate and harness this power. And it's going to take a movement. But But entrepreneurship in the political arena will certainly result in a lot of positive things happening, not just for the black community, but for this country. Again, I want to pause for a moment because you might have a question or so, and I get so excited when I think about the potential of entrepreneurship, not just to transform our communities economically, but also politically and culturally. And so we've got to start applying even more so this creativity and innovation to create jobs in our community and, most importantly, to change our society.
Well, Dr. Horton, you know, I'm so excited about what you're saying, as I was when I met you on the 19th. So I met you just on the eve of Dr. Martin Luther King Day, and now here we are opening up for the, the day of February, Black History Month, and I feel as though this show was ordained to be for Black History Month, that we would have someone with your knowledge and credibility to come on the broadcast and to talk about being able to move us a part or a segment of the society forward that oftentimes has been left behind, and not just African Americans, but others. There are women, different age groups. So there are many other demographics of the population that have been left behind. But I'm so glad that you're bringing this up and talking about innovation and creativity and talking about, you know, the political side of what entrepreneurship could do. Very thankful that you brought up a well-known person, you know, Mr. Johnson, talking about Jet Magazine and how he created that demand for his product and what levels of entrepreneurship that took, you know, so very, very important. And hopefully people are really understanding how significant this is right now, talking about that inverse relationship between employment and entrepreneurship. I think that's very powerful. You talked about turning those, just kind of by the way, haphazard hustles into full-blown, legitimate entrepreneurship. You talked about the spirit of entrepreneurship, this new life. And so I know that you are working on a project to make sure the masses know what you're talking about. I know you and Francine are working on something, and I'm excited about that because I think that it's going to take somebody, you know, leading the way to have this discussion. And, you know, God chose you. So I'm just excited that you were able to come here on the show and share it with the audience that has been tuning in with us for some years now. So thank you very much. But that is just, I'm just blown away. So what are some things that the average entrepreneur who's tuning in right now or who will come back and listen to the archives, what should we be doing so that we can help get on board with this new spirit of entrepreneurship?
The first thing that every individual should do is something that I know that you tell people almost every day. Be honest with yourself and figure out what is your dream. Mm-hmm. So often we put our dreams on the shelf. I think most people put their dreams on the shelf and never realize it. It's that they say, well, one day I'm going to do it. Take that dream off the shelf. No matter what type of job you have or what you're doing, take that dream off the shelf and figure out how can you make that a reality. And as opposed to saying, I want to be part of someone else's dream. Figure out how you can make this your own reality. And let me give you an example. Let us suppose for a moment that you have a dream of actually having your own trucking business. You know, and yet, and you perhaps maybe driving for someone else. There are steps that you can take. The first thing you're going to have to do is you want to go ahead on and get the help so that you can get yourself incorporated. And certainly persons like yourself, persons like myself, can certainly direct you. But you want to sit down and get yourself incorporated so that you can have your own business entity. Secondly, there are resources. There mm-hmm. are resources not only online, but also resources throughout the community to help you at the state, at the local, and at the federal level. Well, one of your first steps should be to sit down with people at the Small Business Administration.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are resources that can help you. One of the things that in our workshop we're going to be doing is we're going to develop a workshop so that we can, in fact, educate people in terms of not only some of those resources that are available, but even assist people make that transition. Because oftentimes we tend to think of a federal agency as being out there, but not something that we're really connected to. But in fact, it's something that we all paid for. And so let me give you another little example that most people don't realize. Most people don't realize that the federal government does somewhere between $450 to $500 billion in contracts with businesses, both large and small, annually. We're talking billion with a B. And they're looking for resources and goods and services all across the board. And they even have programs to assist small businesses to become a part of the contracting community. And so what we have to do is make people aware of that and provide those bridges so that people can, in fact, actually take advantage of those opportunities. We're talking billions with a B. You know, my perspective would be, hey, I'm not greedy. I'll just take a few million. And so the key is, how can your dream be actually transformed into some type of entrepreneurial activity, not just in the business arena? What about perhaps in the political arena? You know, here is something that most people don't realize. We had a great turnout for the Black community and other minority communities for the presidency. Most people don't realize that your vote is even more important at the local and state levels. This is where voting needs to take place. There needs to be entrepreneurship where organizations and groups start coordinating people to get to the polls. We're talking in 2014. That's going to be even more crucial than 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And so because we can see, what mm-hmm. happens in those midterm elections actually determines the type of people that the president has to work with. And if he has total opposition, they're going to try to limit his impact.
That's true.
And I guess what I'm saying is that what we need to do is to have people to realize what is your dream and what arena is that dream. And then step up and get the assistance, because it's not just going to happen. It's going to have to be not an individual thing. It's going to have to be a community effort to mobilize people to become the entrepreneurs that they want to be. And so they need to contact persons like you, contact persons like me. What we're going to do, I know we're running out of time, but what we want to do is within the coming months, we're going to have a website set up so that we can be a clearinghouse to help people all across this country. If you want to be an entrepreneur, let's see what we can do about helping you to make your dream come true. And that's what's got to happen, because otherwise this entrepreneurial revolution, this entrepreneurial explosion won't occur.
Awesome. Well, you know what? We definitely got to have. We're going to have you inbox me a date that you're able to come back, because this discussion is going to continue, but we only have a couple seconds left. Everyone you were listening to, Dr. Horton, can you give them your contact information, how people can best contact you if they should want to bring you in as a speaker for one of their events?
Sure. The best way is to contact me by email. That's adac_INC@yahoo.com.
Okay. Say that one more time.
adac_INC@yahoo.com.
Okay. adac_. Okay. There. They got it. And so, yes. Well, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Wow, that is so awesome. Well, you know, the workshop, we can't wait to hear more. I'm definitely going to schedule you to come back. I know you just mentioned one key thing that entrepreneurs need to do, and boy, that's a big one. Oh, my God, that is enough for us to try to digest over the next week or so before we have you come back. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to All About Entrepreneurs. It's all about entrepreneurs, and wow, you know, having this radio show topic, having Dr. Horton able to come on, having you able to tune in so that you can learn more. I know you probably had questions. We didn't have time, but we promise we want you to come back with your questions, and we're going to have a segment for him, and we're also going to bring him and one of the persons that are going to be working with him in this project, Ms. Francine Humphrey. We're going to try to get them both back, and we're going to try to see if we can get a longer show. But I can't thank you enough. I know I'm going to be playing this archives over and over. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Horton. I know you were a little just a tidbit under the weather, so I really appreciate you keeping, you know, your obligation to come and share with the people. We so appreciate you for that. And just appreciate your spirit and how enthusiastic you are about this. And you have the statistics. What I love is you have the statistics to back up everything you're saying. And that's what I'm just so excited about. Wow. Dr. Horton, professor, been a tenured professor at several universities. He's written all types of articles, over 30 that have been published. You know, wow. You know, you can just Google him, and I'm sure you'll find a lot of good information about what he's doing. He is married. He has children. And you have a dog, too, right, Dr. Horton?
Yes. Her name is Isis, a Shih Tzu Poodle mix.
So he's got it going on, everyone. This is a person that we're going to hear more from. Remember that name, Dr. Hayward Horton. You're definitely going to hear New Jersey when we have our next, you know, economic wealth. We haven't had our wealth strategy symposium in a couple years. We've had it a couple years in a row in 07 and 08. So it's time that we did another wealth strategy symposium. And Dr. Horton, we want you as our keynote speaker. I'm letting you know right now, I have to speak to Dr. Kilfani down at Essex County College, where we had the last one, and I had just seen him last week at the adjunct event, and I told him I wanted to do something, but now I know exactly what. So when I talk with him, we got to get something going. If we can't get it for this semester, we'll get it for September. Because it's not too good to do things there during the summer because the students are gone.
Okay.
So they like to
My pleasure. I'll be there.
Okay, Dr. Horton, thank you. Enjoy your day. Everyone, thanks for tuning in to another segment. We'll see you back tomorrow morning. Professor Terry Benjamin.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.